Christ is King. Jesus Christ is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. And this is what we proclaim on this Christ the King Sunday, the last Sunday reserved in the Western Rite of Holy Orthodoxy as the celebration of Christ the King, and focusing upon that kingdom which we confess in our creed that shall have no end, no end. And in the gospel lesson this morning from the Gospel of St. John, we saw this face-off between the King of Kings and a man of power, Pilate, representative of an earthly kingdom, the Roman Empire, before they became the Holy Roman Empire. And we see this clash of kingdoms, that of the world, worldly civic power, and that which is power which is brought about and ordained from on high, the godly power. The godly power, the King of Kings, Jesus Christ, who embodies the very person of God, who came to us and who was willing to lay down his life for the redemption of Israel, so that we might be adopted into the new Israel, the church. But this morning, as we look at this, as we consider that this is Christ the King Sunday, we also consider that we are at the eve, if you will, of a very important time in our nation, in the political history of our nation, as we prepare ourselves to vote for our next president. And this morning, I want to ask your indulgence in that I am doing something that I have never in the 22 plus years of pastoral ministry have ever done, nor that my father, who was a pastor for 32 years before me, would ever do, think about doing, and that is addressing directly the political climate that we're in. And while I am not endorsing any political candidate, I believe that it is the responsibility of the church to be the conscience of the political world, for us to participate in the politics and the free elections which we have been called to do. Now, I want us to understand that there is a difference between the eternal kingdom of Christ, which we are a part of, which we are members by his grace, by his redemptive work of salvation, and the worldly secular powers that we, through democratic processes, participate in. However, there has been a tendency, particularly within this country, to completely divest one from the other, such that as a church, we don't talk about politics. We want to keep religion separate. But the reality is that I personally believe that we stand poised at the precipice of a spiritual abyss that we may be staring into. And that I believe that both sides, both political parties, understand the importance of this election, because in many ways it does represent, as Jesus stood before Pilate, a clash of kingdoms. Now, I've never openly revealed my political affiliation, and I probably never will. However, I believe that as we prepare ourselves in electing our next leaders, that we need to begin to look at how their political platforms line up with what the church has always taught. And I also want to be clear that we can have disagreements. We can disagree on lesser policies such as immigration or health care or how we should spend in the defense of our nation or in the policies regarding those things, and perhaps even education. We can disagree over those things. But as a church, as the Orthodox Church, there are some policies which are non-negotiable, which we as a church need to take a stand for, that we cannot waver on. And foremost upon on that is the sanctity of life. We cannot go to the polls and vote for candidates who advocate for abortion, which has been one of the greatest atrocities that this nation has ever seen. We cannot vote for a candidate who supports euthanasia or so-called dignity with dying. The sanctity of life becomes absolutely paramount. And closely aligned with that is the sanctity of marriage and the family. The sanctity of marriage, and I will say traditional marriage, as God has defined it, as the church has always celebrated that sacrament between one man and one woman as husband and wife, period. That we were created in his image and likeness. We've got to be taking a position with political candidates who are aligned to that value. And thirdly, in religious liberty. Again, there is the secular government, if we read in Romans 13 and other places, and understanding some of the teachings of our church fathers, St. John Chrysostom namely, the secular government exists really to serve the church, to serve the mission of the church in bringing salvation and bringing charitable works to the world. It is not the church which should come under the rule of the hand of government. In fact, St. John Chrysostom, who lived some 1,600 years ago as the Archbishop of Constantinople, was very bold in addressing the emperor or the empress right there in Hagia Sophia, the church in Constantinople, in dealing with and being the conscience, the voice of the mind of the church, and proclaiming those things which did not square in government with the things of the church. We have been called as to the general priesthood. And St. John Chrysostom also said that the priest is far superior to any earthly king, and that we are priests of an eternal kingdom of Christ. We need to remember these things. And I will, in doing so, in trying to better instruct you, I want you to understand that our political parties have made some profound shifts, such that those who may have been Democrats back in the days of FDR or JFK, John F. Kennedy, or even in the days of Bill Clinton, that was a very different Democrat party. Today, I will tell you that based upon their own public platforms, they have been hijacked by demonic powers of darkness. They do not uphold life. They rather uphold a culture of death, of abortion on demand, of propagating, continuing to propagate, and to throw wider the doors open for not only abortion within the first trimesters, but even abortion, even and sometimes even infanticide, murder, after the child is physically born, to allow for assisted suicides. The vice president candidate for the Democrat Party, Kamala Harris, has been supported for many years by Planned Parenthood. She, in her capacity in California, was very direct in prosecuting the journalist, the undercover journalist, who exposed Planned Parenthood's horrific trafficking of human fetal parts. This could be our next vice president, and she would be a heartbeat away from being the next president of the United States. But Joe Biden, who purports to be a Catholic, is clearly outside of the teachings of the Catholic Church on life, on family, as he has promoted the LGBT community, which stands in militant opposition to the church's teaching on traditional marriage and family, for easy divorce, disposable families, disposable babies. These are atrocities, and they represent a threat not only to us as Orthodox Christians, but represent a spiritual threat to the existence and the survival of our entire nation. Our nation was founded over 250 years ago by men who, admittedly, some perhaps were not Christian in the Trinitarian Christian way of thinking, but they certainly were at least deists, who understood that the miracle in putting together this country and chartering this country with the Constitution and its principles was done so under not only the acknowledgement, but under the submission of a higher power, a divine sovereignty that would guide all political processes. We stand in an age in which these values are not only being challenged, but they are being attacked. The progressives, the socialists, the Marxists, the communists, all are agents of the evil one who would want to push us toward a culture of death and totalitarian society. Do you realize, even though it's all dressed up in language of social justice, and I'm not saying that there hasn't been some good that has come out of these movements, but politically speaking and historically speaking, socialism, which is where the Democrat Party has gone, socialism, which is just another way of saying communism, redistribution of wealth, which was once a great enemy of our state, is the reason in the 20th century alone for over 100 million deaths. Over 100 million deaths. And yet this is what the Democrat Party would want. I'm not saying that they would promote politicide or genocide. But this is always the direction. Why? Because they fail to recognize the eternal kingdom which brings about the state kingdom. They fail to surrender and submit themselves to the precepts of our Lord, who is the author and giver of life. Rather, they set themselves up as ultimate state, as the Savior, taking Christ off the throne. And this will inevitably lead to a culture of death, a culture of self-destruction, a culture that is very fast on the way to hell. I'm not mincing any words. We have not only an opportunity, but we have, I believe, a sacred obligation to be the voice of conscience and to say no more. We are the church. We represent the eternal kingdom of Christ. And we will not abide by candidates who are looking to destroy our nation, to tear apart our families to try to tell me that they're my Savior rather than our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So I encourage you to be bold, to be willing to speak up, to be willing to go in to your polling place and to vote after you've done your due diligence in ensuring that that candidate aligns in terms of those non-negotiable values on the things that the church protects and upholds. You see, a lot of people have been sucked into the idea that an election is really a personality contest. And in listening to a sermon that my cousin Gary Hamrick had done, he said if it were a personality contest, he said, I'd probably really be leaning toward Joe Biden. You know, he's like the grandpa you always wanted to have. Charter a fishing boat, take you out fishing all day and have a good time with him. So whereas Donald Trump, he's the guy that owns the fishing boat and it makes fun at you whenever you don't catch fish. But it's not a personality contest. There's no candidate that's ever going to be perfect in this secular world and ruling in the things temporal. But as a church, we cannot give support to those candidates who have openly avowed themselves to continue to push these values of death and the breakdown of family and the binding of religious liberty and freedom in this country. Regardless of who is elected, the sun will still come up. The stock market, I'm sure, will still open. But we have a moral duty as the church to be the conscience, to exercise our votes for those candidates most closely aligned with the mind of the church, with the kingdom of Christ. May we be bold to do so through the power and through the wisdom and discernment of the Holy Spirit. May we vote properly and bring us back from the abyss. For Christ is King. He is Lord of Lords. So regardless of who wins this election, we should not despair, because we are in the army of the living God. May we go forth with boldness and courage in the victory of Christ, who is King. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.